It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle. It's always exciting when it's time to hear God's word. Because God's word will do in your life what nothing else could ever do. The word of God is what ensures your victory in every situation you might find yourself. If you're ever going to move forward to get to the point that you desire to be, it is the word of God that is going to move you. The word of God is the transport that transports us from one level to another. Like I must have said before, life is not ordinary. Life is spiritual. And what will move you forward in life has got to be spiritual. I love what the man of God, Pastor Chris, would say. He said, if you will stick to the word of God, you will come back with a testimony. Which means the word of God has the ability and the assurance of production, of the production of success and victory. If you find yourself at any point in life, in the middle of a dark forest, you have no reason to be afraid or be scared or wonder how you're going to be out of that situation if you got the word of God right in you. Because somehow, the word of God has the ability to produce anything that it talks about. Somehow. God showed up on the face of the scene in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible said in verse 2 that the earth was without form and it was void. The earth was without form and it was void. To be without form means it was shapeless, just scattered. You can't describe it. You can't call it square. If you take it to a kindergarten, ask them to describe it, they couldn't even call it a globe. It was without form, it was shapeless. And it was void, means it was useless. Earth was useless. With all the resources in it, was useless. The Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The Spirit of God, that's God himself, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the water. He was brooding. And by the time you study that chapter forward, you will realize that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, didn't just go by himself. The Bible said, and God said, let us, in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. The moment the word of God began to come out, the situations began to change. And God said, let there be light, colon, and there was light. If you will stick to the word of God, you will come back with a testimony. In Psalms 23, where we stopped last week, the Bible shows us how King David said from verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one that is leading me. And guess what, brothers and sisters? The Lord will lead you by his word. He gives you his word to shepherd you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is no reason a Christian should lack anything in his life. By the time you understand how to walk with the Lord according to his word, the Bible shows us from what David said that you will not lack anything good. It was this scripture I discovered. I began to realize and declare that I could never be broke one day of my life. Now, it might not make that sense to you now. Is it just that he saw? By the time the Holy Spirit shows you what it means, you realize you could never be broke. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I explained to you what the valley of the shadow of death is. I said, when you go through a valley, it means there is a mountain on this side, there is a mountain on this side. You are walking in between two mountains. That's a valley. He says, if I walk through a valley, that valley naturally will cast a shadow over me. He says, when I walk through this valley, now there are different kinds of valley in life. David is saying, if I walk through this valley and I observe that the shadow is cast over me. I explained last week that when you see the shadow of a man, that's a man close by me. He says, when I walk through this valley and I observe the shadow that is cast over me on this side and on that side, and I looked at the shadow, it's death. Hey, this must be death up there. And I looked on this side, there's another shadow, and it's death. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, with death so close by me, David said, I shall fear no evil. In other words, he will just be smiling the way he has been smiling. I shall fear no evil. Nothing wrong can happen to me. I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. This is his prayer to God. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is his rod and his staff? His word. And his guidance by the Spirit. They comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I love David because he has an understanding of who God is. David faced challenges more than any other person in his world. Far beyond the average. You may not even understand it. The way I could help you to understand it is that God used David and the confessions of his situation to describe what Jesus would face. Because Jesus was going to bear all the problems of man. So God made David to pass through situations that prophetically he described himself as a man acquainted with sorrow. So his life was characterized with sorrow. Once a time, his own son rose up against him and chased him out of the palace. David fled for his own life because if he could have fought someone else, not his son. When David was fleeing from his son, there was one incident that hit me. Some of his subjects, servants on the way, hissed on him. Some spat on him. King! Could anything be more humiliating? They spat on him. One threw stones against him. And another said, he's finished. He thought he was king. Now his end has come. Listen, if you will stick to the word of God, you will come back with a testimony. On his way, David began to sing praises to God. And some of those who were with him said, Master, that guy, long live the king, that guy is stoning you. Give me 1 second, I'll be back. I'm going to kill him. David said, no, come back. Leave them alone. If God is dealing with me, let him deal with me. It's not his problem. David understood that the situation of his life is not under any man's control. David went to hide in a tent somewhere. And then, by the wisdom of God, David understood that there was a plot by his own son to come and kill him where he was. And David had to flee further away from there. But guess what? In all of David's challenges, from fleeing away and returning back to palace, you can check the stories in the Bible. From all his fleeing, there was one thing David would never cease to do, to praise the name of the Lord. He said in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Brothers and sisters, the glory of your life, the success of your life could never be thwarted by the devil. So you don't really have a reason to worry that you got enemies. If somebody likes you, praise God. If he hates you, praise God. As far as David was concerned, God chose to prepare a table before him in the very presence of his enemies. I think that will annoy the enemy more. When they see him seated on the table and he's eating very good food, they will prefer to be blind. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Next verse. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalms 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Listen, the man of God has taught us, never be found in the company of critics. The lives of critics are destroyed forever. Never be found there, because there is no future for critics. He says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." This guy knows that the way of these guys are not right, but I think it's all right to be with them. He said, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful." And so what are they talking about? I don't understand. In fact, even if he's not contributing, that he's seated there. That's what the scripture said. "Nor sits in the seat of the scornful." The son of David, Solomon, said, if you want to enjoy life and have good future, he said, you must keep your mouth shut when they are talking evil. He said he must know how to order his mouth. We saw where David said, he said, "Blessed is the person who ordered his conversation aright." Verse 2, "But his delight," watch this. He says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the congregation of the scornful," of criticizers. He says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." His delight is in the law of the Lord. What delights him is, you are listening to Pastor Chris. What message is that? I join you to listen. When he calls you, he's talking about, have you listened to that message that where Pastor titled this? Have you read the Rhapsody? Did you read the Rhapsody of today? The Rhapsody said this. In fact, when he calls you, you know that he's going to talk about something in the Rhapsody or something. He's not calling you to talk about, you see that brother, what he said. You see, I don't understand why Pastor said. Are you seeing the difference between these two? He said, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night." Day and night. Every time you hear these guys talk, he's talking the word of God from his mouth. Every time you hear him thinking, he's thinking the word of God. When he's in the midst of people, they are discussing, he orders the discussion in the direction of the word of God. You said the other time when I was reading in the Rhapsody, this is what I heard in the Rhapsody. This is what the man of God said. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day. Did he say sometimes? Did he say only on Sundays when we are preaching in service? He says, but in his law doth he meditate day and night. Next verse, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in its season, and its leaf doth not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Irrespective of the season or the adversaries, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Next verse. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff driven by the wind. Chaff, if you've ever been to the carpenter shop, they scrape some things, you know. They scrape some things off the wood to make the wood very smooth. Now, those things that they scrape off the wood, very, very light, the wind carries it about. He says they are like the chaff driven by the wind. That is the way their life is. They are like the chaff driven by the wind, which the wind driveth away. Next verse. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sometimes when I share with people, I say to them, if there's any time to stand straight and right and look forward and upward, it couldn't be other than now. Because if we understand the times and the seasons, the rapture is just so close by. They can't stand in the judgment. It says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's a message that I preached some time ago, and I was talking about the church as being the body of Christ. And I said the body of Christ is the Christians all over the world, but not necessarily all the churches all over the world put together. Because there are some churches called churches, but they are not really a church. And then in some churches, which are really a church, you find Christians and you also find non-Christians in the church. It is really a church. But you find Christians and you find non-Christians. How do you know the difference? You can't tell the difference. Because Jesus said so in his parable. He said, this man planted a yard. And then when men sleeped, the enemy planted his own amongst. When they grew up, they all look alike. Then the servant said, do we go and unplug the tares? He said, no, leave it. Because they look alike. If you try to plug the test, you might mistakenly plug the... Just leave there. There is a time for the judgment. No sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Next verse. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous might look like it's not straight. It might look like so rocky. It might look like so rugged. It might look like, oh, what's happening to this guy? Is he making progress? That's what you think. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He says, but the way of the ungodly, it might look very straight, broad and wide. He says, but the way of the righteous shall what? Shall perish. This is David talking. He has an understanding. That even though my son is driving me from palace, and then he came back to palace, the second one, he came again, Adonijah came again, and he was driving him away from the palace. His life was acquainted with sorrow. He says, even though it's sorrow after sorrow, one problem after one problem, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He says, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And because of his understanding, David's life was full of praise every time. Listen, you must make your life consciously full of praise. Take your eyes away from shadows. Take your eyes away from those who don't like your singing praises. Take your eyes away from those who don't like your progress, because they don't matter. If you will stick to the word of God, you will come back with a testimony. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'd like you to read it on your own from verse 1. I will tell you the story in here. Let's start it from verse 1, and I will skip. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them all that beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. The children of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the children of Maaseiah. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, and on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is En-Gedi." Now, what happened? Three nations came against Judah. Judah was the lower part of Israel, just a tribe. And each of these kingdoms was bigger than Judah. Somebody came to tell Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "Hey, there's a great army coming against you." They came to tell Jehoshaphat, next verse. "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." Okay, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Next verse, verse 4. "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Next verse. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then he made his prayer." Now, if you read on, you will see what his prayer was. And then if you read on also, you will find out that it was not just only the adults that came out. They said they brought both the men and women. Usually when they come out to do things, they leave the women. But this time they brought all the women. And they didn't stop there. They brought all their children. There are some prayers that only the man of God needs to pray. There are some prayers only Pastor Marvin will need to pray here. There are some prayers only the leaders will need to pray. But there are some prayers that every one of us need to come out to pray. We need to determine what happens on this earth. The Antichrist can show up now while we are here. Have you been following the teachings? The Antichrist is about to show up, but we got to resist him. They prayed this prayer, and what happened? Go to verse 14. "And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, the sons of Asaph are people that are practically known for songs and praises." That is what they are known for. So God went to one of those guys and see what happened. "Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation," next verse, "and said, hearken, all Judah." And he said to them, "Listen, relax. You don't have to worry. In this issue, leave it to me." Listen, when the issue goes beyond your ability, that is not when to fret. God is saying, relax. You don't have to worry in this matter. Leave it to me. When your adversaries increase in number, they try to accumulate in number because they think in number they have strength. When they increase in number and try to gather more people to themselves, they are only attracting the wrath of God. Because when they increase in number, then they are attracting God's attention. That's what happens here. God said to them, he said, "Listen, you don't have to fight in this battle. There are some battles God will tell them, you go and fight. This is how you go in this battle." But in this one, he says, you don't need no strategy. Your own is just go there and just go out and I will handle the issue. Let's go to verse 20. "In the morning, they got out as they were advised to do by the Spirit of God. And as they were going out, King Jehoshaphat and They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And in the next verse, you're going to see that King Joshua decided, now God asks us not to fight in this battle. So what do we do? Discuss with the elders of the people, and they agreed, it's true, if we don't need to fight, then we don't need the army. Brothers and sisters, the issues of your life, if you will do what God says to do, if you will let God's word rise up in you, you will always have victory. These guys brought their musicians. They put them in front and they were going to war. And those guys were singing praises to God. They were singing praises to God. They were singing praises to, and as they sang praises, you will see it in the subsequent chapter. And as they sang praises, something happened. The enemies fought themselves until they killed the last man. Israel only proceeded. You will find why God asked them to go. He would have asked them to remain in their camp. But they only proceeded to go and collect the spoil, all the rich and wealth they brought from their own country. They went to collect it. The Bible said it took them 3 days to finish collecting it. God put some foolishness in their mind that when they were coming to war, carry everything in your country because I need to enrich my people. So they brought every wealth from their country, and it took 3 days for Judah to reap all those wealth away. Brothers and sisters, the challenges that you encounter in your life, it could only produce a promotion in your life. In Acts chapter 16, we read an account of how two young men were arrested in their preaching of the gospel. They were beaten and put in jail. While they were in jail, there was nothing else they could do. Now, you would expect that they would begin to complain, what is this? Where is this God? Didn't he say, I will be with you to the end of the earth? Where is he be with you now? He has not been with us. Then they could have easily been, accusing one another. Paul, you said you were praying last night. That was not a real prayer. You were just sleeping. And the other one said, okay, if I was sleeping, why were you not praying? All these things would not have happened. I don't understand. God is not with us. Instead, they were singing praises to God. And as they sang praises to God, something happened. There was an earthquake. All the chains on them fell off. Every complaint that you had in your life, you need to replace them with praises. When you think of those areas that were challenging in your life, just begin to sing praises to God. Begin to sing praises to God.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen. Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at cesydney@gmail.com. That is cesydney@gmail.com. God bless you.